Today, I'd like to share a message titled, Let God Work in Your Life. I thank our senior pastor for this precious opportunity. I'm Pastor Shinha Moon from the cool country of Kenya. It feels very hot here in Korea. But I believe the members of our Mamin Church, filled with the fire of the Holy Spirit, will overcome this heat and be all the more filled with grace. To briefly explain today's main passage, when Queen Esther of Babylon learned that her entire Jewish people were facing annihilation, she made up her mind with the resolve, if I perish, I perish, and saved her people. Yet, what we must recognize here is this. The salvation of the Jewish people was not accomplished by Esther's wisdom or ability. No matter how wise, intelligent, or resourceful a person may be, the outcome of destiny belongs to God. Proverbs chapter 16 verse 1 says, "The plans of the heart belongs to a person, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord." A person may make all kinds of careful plans using every possible means and strategy, but it is God who gives the final answer. Therefore, the key to victory is to let God, who stands behind us, work on our behalf. Through today's message, let us look at how Esther let God work through her, and how, though just a weak woman, she overcame Haman, the most powerful figure in the empire, after the king, and triumphed. In order to let God work on our behalf, first, we must do what we can. The Jews who had been taken captive to Babylon were on the verge of annihilation. A decree for their complete destruction was about to be issued, orchestrated by Haman. Though she received the urgent news, Esther initially hesitated. She explained that even as a queen, approaching the king without being summoned could mean death. She mentioned it wasn't something she could do. In response, Mordecai sent a message through a servant. Then Mordecai told them to apply to Esther, "Do not imagine that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you, your father's house, will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this." Then Esther made a famous confession of faith that made an impossible thing possible. She declared, "I will go in to the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. This is not something I can do, but if God does it, it will be done." In the end, just as she had confessed in faith, she brought down Haman, who was seemingly untouchable, second in command with the help of God. As a result, the Jewish people achieved great victory. The spiritual lesson we can learn from this is that God says to us, "Do what you can, and I will do what I can." In Mark chapter 6, verses 35 through 36, we read the account of 5 loaves and 2 fish. As evening approached, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "This place is desolate and it is already late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding countryside and village and buy themselves something to eat." But how did Jesus respond? "You give them something to eat." The disciples asked again, "Shall we go and spend 200 denarii on bread and give it to them to eat?" A single denarius was a day's wage at the time, so 200 denarii would amount to nearly 7 months' wages. How could the disciples possibly do that? But Jesus wasn't asking them to do the impossible. He was simply saying, "Do what you can." Jesus was essentially saying, "You may not be able to gather 200 denarii right now, but can't you at least bring a boy's small lunch? If you bring even that little lunch, I will take care of the rest." The Lord desires to work with us today, but as He works with us, He requires us to have faith. He is saying, with faith, you can do what you can. Then I can help you with the rest, by all means. It was Esther's part to confess her faith and move forward toward the problem with fasting and prayer. But it was the Lord who opened the closed doors and brought down the impenetrable walls. As I was thinking about going to Nairobi Mami Church in Kenya to build a sanctuary and carry out missions across all 54 of African countries, I found it to be an enormous task. At first, I felt overwhelmed. It would be already difficult enough to conduct ministry just in one country, Kenya. How could I possibly reach all 54 nations? Even as I prayed, faith did not come to my heart. But one day, while I was praying, I received a realization. It was nothing other than this word, do what you can do, and I will do what you cannot. So I began to reflect on what I must do for the sanctuary construction of Nairobi Mami Church and for the mission to 54 African countries, and I came to the conclusion that I must dedicate the rest of my life fully to God. Until then, I had lived for myself, but from now on, I confess that I would dedicate the rest of my life only for the Lord. Because offering my whole life to God is something I can do. For the construction of Nairobi Mami Church, I resolved to give everything I have to God. The day of the Lord's return is drawing near. When else would I be able to build a sanctuary? This may be the final opportunity to do so. I must not miss this chance for such a blessing. Although I do not have much, I want to give everything I have. Because giving what I have to the Lord is something I can do. After making this decision and confession, my heart was filled with joy. Just thinking that I could offer my life and everything I have for the Lord made me so happy. That joy and happiness came from knowing that I could now keep God's word. There had been times when I read the Bible and thought, these verses seem too difficult to actually live out. But now, I find myself able to keep them. One of the verses is Mark chapter 10, verses 29 and 30. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he will receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." Before going to Kenya, whenever I read this verse, I would think, even if it's for the Lord and the gospel, how can someone give up their house, parents, siblings, and children? I thought it would be very difficult to live by this word. But now that I'm in Kenya, I'm able to live out this word, and that fills me with such joy and happiness. Another word that we know well, "For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat and what you will drink, and not for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the sky, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather crops into barns, and your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more important than else?" Now that I'm older, I felt the need to prepare for retirement and save money. And those thoughts often caused me concern. But one day in prayer, I decided, forget the retirement plans. I will give everything to God for the construction of the sanctuary. So I was very thrilled and happy. Every time I read this verse, I remember how the Lord told us not to worry about tomorrow. But I had often worried about the future, and I felt sorry before the Lord. Now that I've decided to entrust my future completely to Him and offer everything, I've got freedom in the Word. I'm so happy. If we don't do what we have to do, God doesn't work. If we don't move, God doesn't move. But if we move, God also moves. if we work, God works for us. So these days, I think about Caleb who entered Canaan and cried out, "Give me this hill country." John Knox who cried, "Lord, give me Scotland," while battling against Catholicism. And David Livingstone, the missionary who first crossed the African continent to spread the gospel. In doing so, I pray, "God, make me the Livingstone of Korea. Give me Africa." Brothers and sisters, I pray that as you do what you are able to do, a great turning point of grace will come upon your life, that closed doors will be opened, blocked gates of blessing will break open, and the iron walls of your problems will collapse. May the impossible become possible, and the possible become even better, and you experience the work of "He who loses life will live." In order to witness the work of God, you must allow Him to intervene in your situation. Esther fasted and prayed to have God involved in her situation. Also, her confession of faith, "If I perish, I perish," was also intended to draw God into the matter. In Luke chapter 8, we find an account of a woman suffering from a hemorrhage. As she approached Jesus surrounded by a big crowd and touched the edge of his garment, she was healed. At this point, Jesus asked, "Who is the one who touched me?" And Peter replied, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing on you." But Jesus said, "Someone did touch me, for I was aware that power had gone out of me." Though many people were near the Lord, the one who experienced His power was the woman with the issue of blood. It was because Jesus intervened in the problem of this woman who touched His garment with faith. His power was at work in her. The Bible says, "But I say to you in the truth, there are many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was shut up for 3 days and 6 months, when a great famine came over all the land, and yet Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many with leprosy in Israel in the time of Elijah the prophet, and none of them was declared cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. There were many widows in those days, but God intervened in the problem of the widow Zarephath, while others were many lepers in Israel. God healed Naaman's leprosy." So let me ask, is God involved in your life? If you want to taste the works of God in your life, you must allow Him to intervene in your problems, sickness, desires, etc. No matter how hopeless and dark the situation may seem, once God steps in, despair turns into hope. No matter how impossible a problem may be in human eyes, when God intervenes, it can suddenly become a simple and solvable. Even if you feel hopeless, once God steps in, it's as easy as turning over your hand. If you want to experience God stepping into your life and working on your behalf, there is something you must do. You must live according to His will. You must walk in the light, transform your heart, achieve sanctification, and let your lifestyle also be transformed, thereby leading a sanctified life. The reason is, God works with those who are changed. As I was preparing this message, the term habistus came to mind. It may sound like a difficult word, and I apologize for that, but I believe it is a crucial concept for a successful in life. This term was first introduced by the French philosopher. He spoke of habistus, explaining that it is not something we are born with, but rather a second nature acquired through life. The theory says that when superior ways of thinking, attitudes, and habits formed through experience, education, or social environment become a person's second nature, he can lead a successful life. When God worked for Esther and destroyed Haman's wicked scheme, This was possible, I mean, it was because Esther had developed a second nature, habistus. If Esther had had remained in her initial mindset, saying, I'm not just a weak person, that's nothing, there's nothing. But Esther declared, if I perish, I perish, and fasted. So her former weakness and helplessness disappeared. She developed a habistus, a faith, a second nature that was wise, courageous, and thoroughly repented. Even though she used to say, I mean, I can't do it, but she became someone who could say, yes, I can. She used to say, I can't sacrifice for others. But now you could say, those who once said, I cannot take up the cross, must now become people who say, from now on, I will take up my cross and follow the Lord. Those who do not act in faith must become people who say, Amen, I believe, I will step forward in faith, and boldly confront their problems. Only then can God work with us. I feel like I've changed a lot since going to Kenya. How hot is it in Korea right now? Doesn't it feel suffocating? Kenya, being in the southern hemisphere, is now in its winter season, so it's cold. When I first went, I thought, how could can an African winter really be? And I didn't think much of it. But this time, it was really cold. I even had to pull out and wear my winter suits. I think I've changed and become like a Kenyan now. In a good way, it's a sign that I have adjusted well to life in Africa. But it's not just my physical condition that has changed. I feel that my spiritual nature has also been transformed. It feels like I've developed a second nature. Back when I served as a pastor at the main church, I didn't realize it. But at the Nairobi Mami Church, when I pray for the members, I see many works of healing and answers taking place, even to my own amazement. At Nairobi Mami Church, we hold a Divine Healing Meeting every 2 months by streaming the Central Church's Divine Healing Meeting via YouTube. Additionally, I personally lead Divine Healing Meetings every 3 to 4 months at Nairobi Mami Church. Thanks to God's guarantee, the senior pastor's prayers, and to interceding prayers of many believers, we are witnessing healings and restorations, so much so that I'm often astonished myself. Let me briefly share a few cases. It's a testimony from our last meeting shared by a 36-year-old member named Grace. She has suffered from epilepsy since 2001, over 20 years. When she had a seizure, she would lose consciousness for 30 minutes and it happened up to 3 times a day. Despite visiting many hospitals, doctors found nothing wrong and offered no cure. As a result, she couldn't lead a normal life. She avoided fire or anywhere with fire and was even afraid to go outside. She used to attend a nearby church but didn't get healed despite receiving prayer there. Then, a Mami member who lived nearby told her that she would be healed at Mami's Divine Healing Meeting, and she attended our meeting held on June 15th. I laid a handkerchief of God's power on her head to pray. Suddenly, she screamed, had convulsions, and collapsed. Realizing that it was the work of a devil, I prayed again with the handkerchief as she was lying on the floor with convulsions. Later, she testified that during the second prayer, her extreme anxiety lifted and she felt free. Now she's healed, has a job, and her life is filled with peace and joy. Here's another testimony. A 7-year-old boy named Gift was healed in both eyes and ears. 2 years ago, during the Christmas holidays, he was playing with fireworks and a metal fragment struck his left eye, causing vision loss. The loud noise also damaged his hearing, and doctors recommended a hearing aid. However, her mother, a mami member, chose to rely on God by faith. After attending the healing meeting and receiving the handkerchief prayer, his mother is a mami member, so she relied on God by faith, and she attended a divine healing meeting, and after receiving the handkerchief prayer, his vision was restored in 2 years, and his hearing became normal. There are many more testimonies, but due to time, I will share only these two. Now, people around us recognize that Nairobi Mami Church saying, "You'll be blessed and healed if you go there," and many are being evangelized. Considering the challenging social environment, we also run the Nairobi Mamint Academy, helping members, especially the youth, gain knowledge and skills for social adaptation. Is being successfully run. At a graduation ceremony, 1 young man was going through a very difficult time because he couldn't find a job. He decided to learn a skill and visited a media academy that taught filming. He wanted to learn filming, but the tuition was too expensive. He gave up and felt discouraged, thinking, "Is this how I have to live my whole life?" He lived in despair. One day, this young man heard by chance that he could learn media skills for free at the Mamin Academy. He came to church and he kept asking, "Is it really free?" When we told him it truly was, he was so happy to learn. He repeatedly asked, "Is it really free?" So he came and learned, and he also attended a graduation ceremony. Now he has a job, and he's living a very satisfying life. And he testified at the graduation ceremony. Not long ago, someone brought 10 unemployed young people to the academy. Our pastor shared the message of the cross with them and encouraged them to believe in Jesus Christ. 7 of them registered at the church and are now living a life of faith. Even pastors from nearby churches are sending their own young members to our academy because of its good reputation. We have a good reputation. I plan to have this academy officially recognized by the Kenyan government, establish the Nairobi Mami ceremony, and make it a more trusted and recognized MIS institution. So, there is a book titled The Patient Ferment of the Early Church, which analyzes the faith of the early church and examines how the early Christians, beginning with the persecution under Emperor Nero of Rome, not only endured such horrific suffering, but even experienced revival. The book identifies various reasons for this, but one of the key reasons was their habitus. Their second nature. Isn't this such a fascinating and hopeful example? The reason that the early church was able to achieve revival despite such horrific persecution was because they developed a habitus, a second nature. But how did that transformation happen? It began with imitation, and through continual repetition, it became habitual. If we look back at the history of our church, we remember how many of our pastors tried to imitate the shepherd, even copying his hairstyle and the way he walked. But it wasn't just about outward appearance. They would often think, "What would the shepherd do in this situation? How would he handle this matter?" Likewise, many of our members strive to follow the example of Ms. Bong Lim Ni or our senior pastor. They say things like, "I want to pray like Ms. Bong Lim Lee," or they try to praise, speak gently and gracefully like our senior pastor. They notice how she dresses with dignity and sets an example in all things. And they try to imitate that. As we say, I want to be like that person. How admirable he is, and try to emulate him and develop habits, we can form a beautiful second nature before we know it. And that is a precious grace. In our church as well, we need many workers who can become role models. Among the pastors, among the elders, among the senior deaconesses, among mission group leaders, district leaders, and cell leaders, we need many who set an example of faith like this. In turn, when the new believers come, they will think, wow, I want to be like that person. He prayed so well. That way, they can grow in faith and the church will have revival, wouldn't it? A healthy, growing, grace-filled church is one where there are many people who desire to imitate in faith. May our Mami Church become such a church filled with the spiritual role models who reflect true faith, a church where exemplary believers abound so that we will experience a great revival. We must believe that God works for those who are not past-oriented, but future-oriented. Esther could have been bound by worldly customs and palace regulations, saying, I can't do this, and chosen to remain a past-oriented person. But as she declared in faith, if I perish, I perish, and moved forward as a future-oriented person, God worked for her. In John chapter 9, we find a scene where the disciples asked Jesus a question based on a wrong prejudice about a man who had been blind from birth. Their prejudice was revealed as they judged someone based on a past-oriented attitude. John chapter 9, verse 1 and 2 says, as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? This reflects a past-oriented attitude. They asked, who committed the sin that caused this man to be born blind? Was it in him or his parents? But Jesus gave a completely unexpected answer. Here we can clearly see the future-oriented heart of Jesus. Jesus' words teach us not to fixate on the past, not to judge or curse by asking whose sin caused this, but to expect God's work to be revealed through that person. Therefore, we must comfort, encourage, and bring healing. The reason is, Satan constantly tries to drag us into the past. He whispers, don't you remember what you did? It keeps digging up our past sins and mistakes before God to condemn us, discourage us, and make us give up and fall into despair. A past-oriented person brings pain and disappointment to others, but Jesus, who is future-oriented, brings hope, comfort, and encouragement. But when Jesus said, as recorded in 1 John chapter 9, verse 3, this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in him. Can you imagine how strengthened and encouraged and comforted the blind man must have felt? He must have been so proud, so moved, perhaps even in tears. He must have been overwhelmed with gratitude, thinking, God wants to reveal his work even through someone like me, a blind man, while others only see my present and past and curse. The blind man must have been so moved by Jesus's. If God had a plan even for a man born blind, then surely he would have many great works he desires to do through you and me. While serving at Nairobi Mami Church in Kenya, I've been experiencing great grace and mercy from God. Lately, I've also been studying English diligently. About a year ago, I struggled with the question, should I study English or not? If I were just pastoring in Nairobi alone, I might have said, I'll just get by with my level. But as I thought about African missions across all 54 countries, I realized that my current English level wasn't enough. So I boldly enrolled in an online English academy in Korea, and I'm studying. Even after 10 prayer meetings, I'm studying past midnight. And I have Victor right behind me. Sometimes we eat together, and during the meal, I always, as I talk to him, I'm studying English. Why I'm saying this? I share this because when I talk to members or young adults at the Central Church about overseas missions, many say that they can't because they don't speak English. But I'm over 70 years old now. If it's for the Father's work, for the Africa mission entrusted to me through the Central Church, shouldn't I study English even at this age? For the glory of God, we must study English, gain more knowledge of the Word with the gospel of sanctification, circumcise our hearts, and come into spirit. I strongly urge our members and young people not to stay only in Korea, but to go out into the world. That's how the world evangelization will be fulfilled and the global mission will be accomplished. In early July, just before coming to Korea, I went on a mission trip to the larger city in Tanzania to expand MIS. I also led a handkerchief healing meeting at another church. It was my first time leading such a meeting outdoors in an open field. I'm thankful, believing that God used it as a valuable experience to prepare me for the future large crusades. In Tanzania, we gained many new MIS members, and three churches expressed their intention to join Mammon as branch churches. Currently, MIS lectures are held every Tuesday morning. While the lectures are for the members of Nairobi Mammon Church, they are also streamed online to other countries like Kenya, DR Congo, Namibia, Burundi, and Tanzania. So this has become an international MIS education program. Most online participants are pastors. About 700 people from 40 locations are learning the gospel of sanctification each week. Thanks to God's blessings, both branch churches and online sanctuaries are steadily increasing. Recently, over 100 members in Burundi registered as an online sanctuary of Nairobi Mami Church. They attend services via YouTube, like the Nairobi Mami Church, and we also sent them a TV so they could worship more comfortably. We sent a TV set to the members. Some of the church registered as online sanctuaries are already growing and expanding their buildings or constructing new sanctuaries. The members of the branch sanctuaries collect wood from the mountains and make mud bricks to build the walls themselves. Then, as you see on the screen, they are building walls through the mud bricks, and they also put up the roof. Then the Nairobi Mami Church supports them by providing iron sheets for the roof. I thank our beloved senior pastor and the members who pray, care, and support us. And I give thanks and glory to God the Trinity who prepares the way and opens doors so that we can press on with all our strength for missions in Kenya and across all 54 African nations. Many people tend to think from a human perspective. They assume that the ones who can best serve God are those who are skilled by society standards, those who are highly educated, wealthy, naturally talented, or from prestigious backgrounds. They believe that those who meet these worldly conditions are suited for God's work. But God does not work according to the worldly standards or conditions. God works through a person's faith, not according to human thoughts. People may think, surely that person isn't fit to do the work of God, but God may choose him to accomplish something great. Something great. How is that possible? It's because we have one who looks on us with mercy, who sees us with love and compassion, who groans on our behalf, intercedes for us, and works for us. And who is this? None other than the Holy Spirit. Even now, the Holy Spirit dwells within us, strengthening us and saying, "Do not fear, for I am with you. I will protect you. I will lead you. I will fight for you." Today, I shared a message titled, "Let God Work in Your Life," and gave three key points. To let God work, you must do what you can do. God works with those who've transformed themselves by developing a second nature, habitus. God works for those who are future-oriented. Therefore, do not be a past-oriented person trapped by your past sins and evil and shortcomings and unable to move forward. Instead, proclaim like Esther, "If I perish, I perish." Break from all the limits of the past, shatter the chains of past prejudices, step out of your past, and become a future-oriented person of faith. I pray in our Lord's name that you will reveal God's work in your life like Esther and Mordecai.
Hallelujah, our Almighty Father, God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases, heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pain go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerate. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to your glory, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.